What's up, Coach?
Hey, how you doing, Glenn?
Good.
Steve,
how are you?
Nice to see you.
Thanks, Coach.
Michael,
how are you?
Doing all right.
And we found Steve out in the lobby, and we just dragged him in, figured he might be able to help
us out. We'll do radio for food.
Help us out in the show. We were talking about this earlier, Bill. You look at that game yesterday, and the way you guys played, it was hard to believe that you were in the game, and we were talking about specific plays at the end where you could actually win it. You've had an opportunity now, I take it, to look at the film. Did you see anything on there that looked any different than what you saw during the course of the game yesterday?
No, not too much. They did a good job. We had, got behind early and, fought to catch up and just never quite got there.
Vince was in here earlier and he said he thinks the problem defensively can be fixed and that the problem is right now communication, that some guys see one thing and other guys see another thing out there. That fairly accurate? Is that what you're seeing?
Well, I'm sure there's some of that, yeah. I'm sure there is, yeah. We just gotta work harder, do a better job coaching, do a better job playing. I think I agree with Vince. I think it's fixable.
The communication in the on the defensive side of the ball, is it secondary? Is it linebackers? Is it linebackers to D-line? Or are there issues that pop up at different times?
Oh, I think you find a couple plays in the game where it's one or the other or both team things. Just, we just got to do a better job of seeing the same thing, making the communication, getting the call right, and then executing it better.
Would it help to have Mayo in there doing it more than that when he's 100%?
Well, I think any time you change your communication, there's a little bit of a transition there. But, those other guys have been doing it. We just got to do it better.
On the Gronkowski touchdown, you didn't get a chance to get a review, and part of that could have been from a TV director's perspective. You were in a hurry-up offense, so they didn't want to show the replay and miss the live action. What were your thoughts of going to the hurry-up offense in that situation, and did it ever cross your mind to say, all right, we gotta challenge this?
It looked like a close play, but I was 50 yards away, so I don't really have a good look at it on the goal line. And if you don't have the evidence to overturn it, then I don't think that's the kind of play you we'd want to challenge there, especially with the timeouts being valuable at the end of the game, given the situation we're in. So, if you have evidence to overturn it, then you challenge it. If not, then it's close play. It's close play.
But because you don't. Ernie can't see up above, or whoever's looking at up above. Nobody had an opportunity to see that replay. Didn't see the replay until two plays after that. But you're not going to sit there and suddenly go away from your hurry-up offense at that point, are you? I mean, that would have had to have been the decision. If you needed evidence to be able to see the play, you would have to go away from what you were actually doing out there in the field at the time.
Yeah, well, I think if you didn't agree with the play, then you just challenge it. We just didn't have enough evidence to support that, which, I watched the play again today on the coach's tape. It's a close play. I couldn't tell from there. So,
was there a reason that the next snap took so long to get off? You're on the 1 foot line. Is there a reason that it took it seemed like an extended period of time to get the playoff?
I think initially, we thought about running the ball there, and they kind of were, milling around as we were, and then they jumped into a goal line type defense. We were in multiple receivers, so, you just don't have enough people to really secure the formation there. So when Tom saw that, then he got out of a running play that would run into, an unblocked guy, kind of, similar to the play that Indianapolis ran up at Indianapolis that Willie made the play on, a few years back when they didn't have their short yardage or goal line offense, and they just come off the edge. And so it looked like we just didn't have enough blockers there to be able to hand the ball off from inside the one, which would have been fine. But when they jumped into that look, he thought better of it, and, we're in another play.
Mm-hmm. Why were they able to have so much success, particularly on that first drive with Heath Miller across the middle? And it wasn't tight coverage. It was wide open across the middle. Why were they able to do that?
Obviously, we missed a couple plays, things we didn't just didn't get him play the way we want to play him. So that wasn't the intent to have him that open. We obviously missed some things.
Third down situations, third and long, seemed to haunt you again yesterday. We've seen that in the past, but third and long was a killer yesterday.
Yeah, we didn't. You know, I mean, they're a good third and long team, one of the best in the league. But you know, statistically, but we didn't. Again, we didn't do a good enough job in that situation. It's obvious.
What was the thought process with the onside kick? You had two or three timeouts left, and before the 2-minute warning. Was it a nod towards the Pittsburgh offense moving the ball as well as they did?
You know, we worked on the play a lot in practice, and really it's looked good, and I thought that we had a good chance to get the ball. Unfortunately, it didn't work very well in the game, so and that wasn't the way we wanted it to go. But again, it was one of those things we just didn't happen the way that we hoped it would. You know, then had we made the stops defensively and not given up that initial first down, you know, we would have gotten the ball back with a lot more time than we did. But then when they picked up the first down on the fullback run there, which is another close call, then by the time we got the ball back, there wasn't much time left.
On the onside kick, decision made from the sidelines, or is it something the kicker sees that you can trigger? Is there anything that he sees that you can trigger the call, change the call, if you see their alignment, you see something that they're lined up with?
Yeah, sure, you could call it off. But, you know, we had a good look there. I mean, based on what we were trying to do, there was just, you know, one guy there. And so, you know, when he went to kick the ball, we thought, well, this is, you know, a good shot here. You know, if we could have executed the play the way we've done it many times in practice and just didn't, like I said, obviously didn't turn out the way that we wanted it to.
Did he just top the ball? I've done that with my pitching wedge many, many times, and it just went the same thing about 7 yards when I wanted to go about 90. Did he just top it and get on top of the ball a little too much?
Well, yeah. I mean, the course is supposed to go 10 yards. Yeah. And it, you know, when we practice it, he's done a great job with that. Just didn't go far enough, yeah.
Yeah.
It was a little surprising on Friday to hear the news that Lee Bodden was released. Why, not necessarily why the release, but why at that time Friday before the game?
Well, we had a couple of people coming off of PUP, and, you know, in the end we thought that was the best decision for the team.
Had his performance gone down that much? I mean, this is the guy who was a starting cornerback for you, or if not a starting cornerback, a top three corner for you. Has his performance really dropped off that much to get to that point?
Well, we made the decision we thought was best for the team, so take whatever you want out of that.
Are those decisions made purely on how well the guy's playing, Bill, or do you take into consideration if a guy is not happy at his role and he seemed to be playing in that slot? That if a guy's not happy in his role, that maybe that creates the environment that you don't necessarily want to have?
Well, I think you take everything into consideration and, like you said, do what you think's best for a team. And that's a weekly thing. It's a monthly thing. It's really a daily thing. You know, you make a lot of decisions each day on how to practice, what to do, who to put in what roles, so forth, so on. You do what you think's best for the team.
Was Rozai Dowling destined for the IR? Was that all taken into account too with the release of Bodden?
At the time, we didn't know that for sure, but he hasn't been available for very much of the season anyway. So that really, you know, wasn't a surprise when it came down that way.
It seemed like at the beginning of the second half, you went a little more under the center with Brady. Was that a factor of the noise, or didn't, or was I just seeing things out there?
Well, no, I don't think you were seeing things. If he was under center, I think he was under center.
Yeah. Just seemed like a little more than before or after. So,
yeah,
it sounded pretty loud on TV.
No, the stadium was definitely, you know, alive. There's no question. You know, the crowd was into it, and they had good reason to be. The Steelers are playing well. They had a good lead, and so. We, you know, try to get, I think, you know, when you're under center, you have a lot more options offensively in terms of the running game and quick passing game. You can still run your play action, deep passing game. You get in the shotgun, you're, you know, you can still do some of those things, not as easily. And you know, I think you're back there for a reason. And, you know, generally it's to throw the ball. So, we felt like we could, you know, that's usually where we want to be unless it's an obvious passing situation. So, you know, we want to get back to that in the second half.
You guys have played in big games before, many big games, and played in many loud stadiums. Were you surprised to see so many false start penalties from various offensive linemen yesterday?
Yeah, well, that's not something that we want. Unfortunately, we've had, you know, too many of those all year from all the positions offensively. So that's the one thing we got to cut down on is those false start penalties. That's keeping our offense from staying in, you know, favorable down and distance situations. We just had, you know, had too many of those this year. We gotta do a better job of that. Yeah, it was loud, but you know, that's the way it is on the road. We're gonna see that again. So we have to do a better job of that.
Bill, what do you do at this juncture of the season if you believe you have personnel problems, that guys aren't strong enough at certain areas of your depth chart? What do you do in that situation? Do you look more at the practice squad players? I mean, what else can you do? Are there enough good players out there that you could bring in at this time of the season that could pick up your system that quick?
Well, I think if you felt that way about those players you're talking about, you probably have already done it.
Did Dick LeBeau do anything with his defensive game plan, anything different than you've seen in the past from Pittsburgh?
You know, I don't think they did anything that we haven't seen them do before. I'd say they played a little more man coverage in the game than they normally play, but it was not any coverages that they hadn't run before. Just maybe a little bit more of them.
They said during the broadcast that you had some concerns. I guess they were talking to you during the production meeting, and you had some concerns about the bye week. What were your concerns about the Patriots coming out of the bye week?
Well, I think any time you don't play a game, you want to get back into that rhythm of playing weekly. And when you miss a week, you know, you get rested up, and there's some advantages to that. But at the same time, you're not quite in that weekly playing mode. You've got to get back into that. So, I think that's no different than other situations like that come up from time to time, whether it's a long week or sometimes the last preseason game, depending on what your playing time is for some of your players. Playoff week, that kind of thing. So you just, you know, I think it's something that you got to make your team aware of and you got to practice for.
I guess the stat they used yesterday was teams were 3-9 coming out of those, and now I guess it's 3-10 at least, consider factoring in your team. Is there a consistent theme for what happens in that bye week for those teams? Were you able to identify, okay, teams are doing this in that week following the bye that is preventing them from winning games?
Yeah, well, I mean, I can't speak for all the other teams. I would just say, you know, for our team, I thought we had a good week of practice, both on the bye week, which is short. We really only practiced one day that week. The other one was more of a walkthrough, and then we had a good week of practice this week. So I wouldn't say that was really, a big issue. Just obviously we could have started the game better, and for whatever the reasons were on that, we didn't do a good job on the first kickoff coverage, the first defensive drive, the first offensive drive. So what all that's related to was the bye week, wasn't the bye week, I don't know. But, you know, we definitely need to, you know, we don't want to start the game down 10-0 at the end of the first quarter running three plays. So, we didn't do a good enough job there. You know, hopefully we can improve that next week.
You think it affects your offense in that the offense was out there in the field for so few plays in the first half that you don't get into that rhythm, and maybe even more so when you're coming off of a bye week?
Yeah, well, that's our fault. I mean, offensively, if we don't produce, then we're not going to keep the ball very long. And defensively, if we don't get them off the field on third down, then we're going to stay out there. So, well, we all know that. That's nothing new there.
All right, let's take a 90-second break. When we come back, we'll talk about the Giants coming in here on Sunday. I heard they have a pretty decent long snapper. we'll get to that in 90 seconds. Talking with the coach here on a Monday. It's Patriots Monday. We're live down at Gillette Stadium. Patriots Monday, the big show, live down here at Gillette Stadium. Ordway, Holly, Steve. Steve DiAssi, our third man, and, of course, the coach, Bill Belichick. Sunday, the New York Giants come to town, a team that had a rough first half yesterday, but certainly rebound in the second half. Let's start with Eli, because he's been playing very, very well as of late. Seems to go through periods, but this seems to be one of the good ones right now.
Yeah, well, they've got a good football team all the way around. You know, in all three phases of the game, they do a nice job. And, you know, they're strong, they're physical, they play hard, they execute well. They got a lot of big play, a lot of playmakers. They've gotten some guys back on defense. Eli's playing well. They've got a good running game. Tight end's playing well. Good offensive line. So they're a good football team, no question.
Is it strange to see one of your former ball boys on film? I mean, you're scouting a guy that you've known since he was a little kid. Is that a... that make you feel old or anything?
Oh, yeah, sure. But, no, Zach's done a great job. Of course, watched him play in high school up at Andover and then at Brown, you know. Mm-hmm. Sat through a couple games there. Yep. But, you know, he's really had a good career. Was at the Pro Bowl last year. It's, you know, great honor for him and recognition that he deserves. So, you know, I'm sure he's making his family and all of his former schools and proud. And, and he's doing a good job for the Giants, you know, not just on the snapping, but also, you know, on coverage teams.
Forget coach. It makes me feel old having a son that's been through 50 years. Well, forget that.
Playing for your team too.
He was born when he was born when I was 15. I was very active as a team.
Yeah. Okay. Stop. So,
God. The Giants seem to be when they get both Tuck and Umior in there, they just seem like makes them the defense even that much more aggressive. Having, you know, watched a number of their games this year. Both those guys on the field at one time, it seems like it picks up the whole defensive energy. Does that translate into film sometimes?
Oh, sure. And then you put JPP in there, yep, too, and yep, and Kiwanuka, and then they're physical, they're fast, they can rush the passer. They've got a good defense. They have a very good front. They're very active, and like you said, there's, you know, whoever gets singled up, you know, they do a good job of working those one-on-one matchups. You can't double all of them. And when I put, you know, three or four guys out there that are really dynamic pass rushers, you know, the offensive line will have their hands full.
You mentioned Jason Pierre-Paul. He's a mouthful.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you about him. I was just going to call him Pierre-Paul, yeah, or you call him JPP. That's fine too. What have you seen from him this year that maybe he didn't have last year?
Well, I mean, I think you saw his athletic ability last year, his speed, his quickness, ability to change directions, and he's a tremendous athlete, you know, just leap over people and his quickness. But he's more experienced. Really had 1 year of college football and very experienced, you know, gaining some experience now, a lot more confident. Looks like he knows what he recognizes things quicker and reacts better. So like most guys do in their second year of the NFL. So he's gained that as well as the athleticism that he displayed in college and certainly last year as a rookie.
Ahmad Bradshaw is he one of the better backs in the NFL?
Oh, sure, no question. They got good backs. Bradshaw's a very dynamic player, fast, quick, good in open spaces. They use him, of course, not only in the running game but in the passing game. Mm-hmm. Very good screen back, loose play guy, check downs, things like that. He can take a, you know, 2 or 3 yard pass and turn it into a long run. Very good in the open field, strong mm-hmm. runner, and he's got good quickness, good elusiveness.
Your friend Tony La Russa announced his retirement today. You talk about going out on top. They have just a phenomenal run, down 10.5 games on August 27th. They come back, they win this thing, and he calls it quits. First of all, your impressions with what he went through here and the fact that he's going out on top. Have you ever envisioned the way you want to go out? Is there a certain time frame that you're looking at and saying, man, if I could just win that one other Super Bowl and then I'd go off in the distance. See you later, gang. I'm out of here.
Yeah. I haven't really thought too much about that, Glenn, to be honest with you. Really thought more about trying to, you know, beat Pittsburgh up until today, and now it's time to think about beating the Giants. So, but Tony's had a tremendous career. Third winningest manager of all time or something like that. Mm-hmm. Three championships, and he's had a tremendous career, and he's done a lot for the game of baseball, and he's a good, close, personal friend. So, you know, he certainly deserves all the accolades he's getting them. And I'm sure he made the decision that he thought was best, and I'm sure it's the right one.
So how long ago did he tell you he was retiring? A month? Something like that?
You know what? We've both been pretty involved in our own season.
That's a good point.
I thought it was interesting, Bill. They hold Game 5 where you had the phone problem out into the bullpens, and he gave his answer. He said, you know, I just screwed up. I didn't say it correctly, or I didn't hear it, or whatever. Took his coaches of it. But the reason nobody seemed to believe him is he's such a great manager. You're sitting there going, how could he miss this little tiny detail? No?
Yeah, I don't know. I follow the games, but, it's tough during the World Series. You know, we're trying to get ready for games and all that. So, I really don't even know about a lot of
stuff. But the point I was trying to bring up, he's such a great manager. He doesn't make an awful lot of mistakes that when something like that happens, people have trouble actually believing him and what he said because you're sitting there going, La Russa couldn't have screwed it. You know, maybe some other guy screws up like this, but La Russa doesn't screw up like this. Phenomenal career, though.
Yeah. Well, from just being around him down at spring training, you know, there's various points in the year. He's got a tremendous knowledge of baseball, and just watching him hands-on work with his team and being in the dugout with him during exhibition games, things like that, he does an incredible job. So I have all the respect in the world for Tony and learned a lot from watching him. He's certainly a guy that I've enjoyed talking sports with, coaching, teaching, handling player situations, all those kind of things. So he's a great friend.
You know, we talked last week, I think it was, about the 2001 Patriots and the horse race, the crowded horses analogy. Anybody could win this thing, and then who separates from the pack? You got to find a way to use the 2011 Cardinals as an example of, you know, never giving up, of what the power of teamwork. If you thought about using that team in some kind of coaching way or some kind of coaching point out of this story, because it's pretty amazing.
Well, they had a tremendous, tremendous finish to the season. That's really when it all counts is, you know, crunch time. So, absolutely, they did a great job of it.
What did you think of Game 7? You saw a little bit of it, right? Or a lot of it?
That was the Friday night game. So, right. I thought that the Cardinals played well, and Carpenter pitched well. So, wasn't Texas's best game, but there was a lot of pressure in that game. And the Cardinals made the plays they had to make.
All right, Bill, the Giants on Sunday. We'll see you back here on Monday. Have a good week.
All right, sounds good. All right, thanks.
Thanks,
Belichick, right here on The Big Show. And Patriots Monday, we get right back to your phone calls coming up next.